I'm going to start out by giving you a revelation. And I'm going to give you probably the deepest revelation that you'll ever be able to receive in your life. And the reason why is because you won't get it all when I say it. But when I say it, it should challenge you to want to get it. Have you ever had a revelation, maybe I've preached or someone else has been preaching, and they give you a scripture that you've seen 1,000 times, and all of a sudden they reveal something that I never saw that. I never knew that. I didn't even know that was tied together somewhere else in the Bible. How many people have had that experience? Many times, right? So when I give you this revelation, it's going to run in a lot of directions, but you won't get it all, but you need to continue to get it because this is your lifelong revelation. Are you ready for it? So we know, because God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah, that he has a plan for his people. But here's the revelation. Not only does God have a plan, God is the plan. God is the plan. In the beginning was the Word. Same was in the beginning with God. This right here is the revelation. And you will get revelation after revelation after revelation. It's not a book, it's a plan. It's not a plan, it's God. But God just happens to be the plan. So you're getting about, you're starting to get the little early signs of that. Until it becomes a revelation that that is a revelation, you won't get the revelation. And so with that plan, we need to understand that it comes from the renewing or the changing of someone's mind. But if someone's mind is fixated on something other than that plan, then other things will be manifesting in their life. God has a plan. He is the plan. And if you have revelation of God and his plan, then you have the plan. And if you have the plan, then your actions, the things that you do, the things you're involved with, the things that you're not involved with, will all revolve around that plan. And so I've been talking about a series here called Mindset, because first of all, we learned you have to set your mind. You have to set your mind on things above. You have to set your things on the mind of Christ. But with that, we learned even last session that there are things called mind traps. And there are things that will trap you in your way of thinking, that you'll be thinking that you're thinking correctly, but you'll be thinking wrongly about the things you're thinking. That's a lot of words saying thinking in the same paragraph. So how do you right wrong thinking? Because do you know I could take a scripture, I can change one word and give it a completely different meaning. And I've heard it happen so many times. Let's forget about the people that don't know the word. Let's talk about us who do. I could tell you, for those of us who know, I have heard scriptures misquoted, taken out of context, used, and I want to be nice. I'm not here. This isn't a judgmental sermon in any way today. But what I'm saying, if they've used to push agendas. And I'm not here, I'm not God, I'm not here as judge. I'm just here to preach the word in its entirety, line upon line, precept upon precept. So where you see it one place in the word, it has to look the same over here. It can't look one place here and look another place here. So when we're looking at mind traps, many times it's the way we have perceived things, and we have adopted certain ways of thinking, and because we've adopted that, we refuse to change. Sometimes, even when the Word of God is preached to us, I've heard people say, yeah, I know what you preach, Pastor, but I still believe. But. The only thing I know that butts is a goat. It's not a sheep. Sheeps follow the word. They follow the pastor. Do you understand what I'm saying? So it doesn't matter. We're going to look into here. You don't have to agree with the plan. But if you don't agree with it, don't expect to walk in it. And when the others are around you are walking and they're being blessed and you're witnessing it in your life, I just don't want you to feel left out. And I want you to understand why you're in the place you're in, because it's my experience that most people really do want that plan. They're just confused on how to get it because they've heard so many voices and they've heard so many versions of the plan. So what do you say we just look at some of the reasons why we have, we have reason not to follow a plan when we think we are. And I'm going to go back because we only talked about one form of a mind trap. So for people that weren't here last time, I'll do a quick refresher of the first mind trap. The first mind trap we get into is forecasting. How many people remember that from last session? At times you might find, you start finding yourself thinking about things that they're always going to turn out badly. You know, it's never going to be good. It's going to be like, you know, have you heard somebody say, I'm just overwhelmed? Well, overwhelmed, you know, but last night you were sleeping like a baby. I heard you singing in the kitchen the other day. So, you know, you're not overwhelmed. God's not going to put on you more than you can handle. So, see, we say that. And we have forecasted. So you're walking around overwhelmed. No, you're not. Because I can assure you, if you are overwhelmed, you won't be acting like that. Now, there are points where you may feel overwhelmed. I'm just telling you, you are not overwhelmed. What you feel and what you are not always the same thing. You can feel like you have cancer and like you're going to die, but you may just have a stomach ache. Amen, somebody. Where's the church I was preaching to last week? Your people make statements like, well, you know, I'll never get that promotion. Guess what? You're not getting promoted. Have you ever heard someone say, well, I guess this is it for me. I'm not sure what it is. So, no, it's not it for me. I don't know about you, but I have higher standards for my life than just settling for it. Come on, somebody. And I gave this one last week, and I'll refresh you with that. How many people, you may have even said it, and if you did, just leave your hand down. Just kind of give me an awkward grin. Yeah, God, this year Christmas is going to be a nightmare. Dial up Freddy Krueger. I mean, come on, let's just tell it like it is. Self-fulfilling prophecy is what you're developing here. And you just instructed your body to walk in it. You just told your body what to do. And alternatively, many times you'll find yourself forecasting about other people. So now you're not just affecting your life. Now you're actually, your mindset is starting to affect the people around you. That's a whole nother level of responsibility. Do you understand? So You've probably maybe said this, or maybe you've heard other people say that. You say, well, you know, they're never going to get that job. Well, I am so glad that you are not watching over my future and I'm having to depend on your word for my success. I'm not going to get that job. How do you know I'm not going to get that job? You just forecasted something, and if it sticks in my mind and I believe it, guess what? I'm not going to get that job. Oh, I'd let you do it, but you're bound to mess that up. What did you just do? You just programmed their mind to set them up for failure. At the same time, you flunked them in your own brain. Are you saying, now you don't realize this, it's not a one-time event, well, I did it once. It's when you continue to do it and you're trapped in it, and then you find out the world around you, you have seeded it full of negativity. You have forecasted into the people. You have forecasted about yourself. You have now started to believe your own lies, and you have people believing those same lies. And you don't even know you're doing it. But you wonder why everything around you is always falling apart. Well, nothing's ever coming through. Well, nothing seems to be breaking through. It's not everybody else's fault. Guys, I am not here come and pass judgment on you. I'm just trying to get on your toes a little bit so maybe you'll stand up and walk a different place. Okay? So, making these statements, doing these things, you're setting them up for issues, for problems, for failure. So I call this, if you're doing that, I call that poor planning. Because I am literally, everything I'm speaking, I am planning out. If I say I'm going to have this, then I'm going to have it. If I say I'm not going to have it, my plans are not to have it. If I speak it over you, the plan concerning me for you is you're not going to get that. So I don't know about you, but to me, that's poor planning. Now, God has a plan, but I can assure you it is not a poor one. And if you ever hear someone giving a poor plan over your life, no, that is not the Spirit of God. Whether it's coming from you or someone else, that is not God's plan. His plan is to prosper you, not to harm you. And so we have to get out of these traps in our mind. Proverbs 16:9. I'm still just kind of bringing in last week. I'm about to move into this week right now. The mind of a man plans his way, but the Lord directs his steps. So what you're saying is that your mind, the mind of a man, does the planning. And then whatever you plan, God's got to work with that plan and try to direct you to get you where you need to be, even where you think you're somewhere else. Well, that'd preach a whole sermon by itself right there. So what happens here? Okay, here's what it looks like then. So what you're saying and what you're putting out there around you, what that's doing is you're planning your future. Then what you've planned, because of what you've planted, now God has to navigate around your poor planning. Do you know where you would be without God's direction in your life? If he actually just let you fulfill the plans that you had for yourself? So he has to work around our poor planning. And what he's trying to do is renew the mind to get this plan in here between this 8-inch space to change your mindset and set it on the word so your plan and his plan are the same thing. Then your steps become ordered. It's almost like when you're on, how many people have a GPS in the car? Siri or what? One of those. What do you do? It says, you're driving and it says 100 feet, turn left, 100 feet, turn left, 50 feet, turn left, 20 feet, turn left. Reroute, make a U-turn. So what do? Now you got to go five other streets. Now you're back in the hood somewhere. You don't even know where you're at. And I'm like, what the heck is these streets? A turn right on Marshall. I'm on Marshall Avenue here. Okay, turn right on this one. Don't even have a name. It's so back in here so far. And if you come squirreling through these neighborhoods, all of a sudden you pop out. I swear each time I'm afraid I'm going to run into a barbed wire fence. You ever have that? Little barb. And I'm running out. It happened to me the other night. I'm telling the truth. And I got up, and I'm thinking, this is it, man. They're waiting for me down there with baseball bats. You've never had the thought? Mindset. And I'm driving down there, man, and all of a sudden I pop through. I have never been so glad to see a 4-lane highway in my life. I pure start to shout, ho, oh, hey, 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 ho. Oh. And that's how God's doing this in our life. He's sort of going, turn, reroute. You missed it. Go back. No, over here. You put somebody somewhere, some event, get you, turn. You're wandering through all these places, and finally you get to your spot of darkness. He's like, just, no, trust me, just walk through there. Just go, trust it. Because you got to trust Sarah. There's some serious trust there, man. That's some serious trust, man. I'm going to tell you, it was so dark in that neighborhood. I couldn't even read the signs. It was so dark. They didn't even have lights in that neighborhood. You hear what I'm saying? That's how it is with God. Sometimes it's so dark. You're in places so dark. You don't even know up from down. But you got to trust that voice. You just got to trust that word. You got to trust what you're hearing. You got to trust that knowing in your knower. And you got to go through when you don't even want to. You just have to. Because even when your plans are poor, he will still direct you. I just read you the scripture. If he gave you his word, that's what he'll do. But how much easier is it just to stay on the path? No rerouting, no U-turns. It's nice to ride on the four lanes. I'm to a point in my life, man, I'm doing everything I can. I just want to stay on the main routes with God. How many people have had effortless driving? You're just driving along 9 miles, stay on route for 9 miles. Right turn in 1 mile. Get off on the exit, half mile. Some of us drive with our thumbs. Oh, this is the exit? There's even two lanes on this exit. This exit, I don't even have to slow down. On to another four lane. 25 miles. Would you rather be doing that, or would you rather be sawing your way through the hood trying to figure out where you're going next? You're backing up because the roads are so narrow you can't even make the turn. You don't even know the road from a driveway. Come on, somebody. And what I'm saying is we create most of the problems in our own life, but then we want to blame other people and God. I'm just trying to tell you it's from a mind trap. It's from things we've said. It's from things that we've done. Instead of staying with the plan, we're saying things, doing things, things that are not in concordance with the plan of God. So with that said, I'm going to move in, and I want to move into this next step here, which is what we're here today to discuss. And I want to keep talking about this mind trap thing. And I want to talk about this one because this one is, listen, this is important. And you've got to hear me on this one, because if you get stuck in this mind trap, it's going to alienate a lot of things. And listen to what I'm talking. It's called jumping to conclusions. Look at your neighbor and say, my, my. See, you may find yourself making leaps in your perceptions of things. So instead of just perceiving it like it is, you want to go ahead and make a jump. You want to go ahead and make a prediction about it. You see what I mean? You want to go ahead and have an assumption. And then with that assumption, you want to form an opinion based on what you're assuming because of your perception. It's called jumping to conclusions. And then a lot of times you'll make a strong judgment about a situation and you don't even know all the facts. You've already made it. You've already made the decision. You've already tried it and tested it, everything. You haven't even heard the rest of the story, as Paul Harvey would say. See, you may assume somebody's behavior, example, because they're behaving a certain way or acting a certain way, the way you think they should or shouldn't act. And if they don't act that way, then you think it's a negative response to you. You think maybe that they're doing it because, you know, maybe it's being done to hurt you or something like that. Well, can I say it this way? You might be doing it. Do you know sometimes people respond different ways because, believe it or not, they're not always thinking about what you're thinking about. I know this is going to come to a strange revelation, but you have your map all planned out, your story all drawn out, and you're living through your day. So you're expecting, you know, Winston, you have to behave a certain way. Chaz, you have to behave a certain way because you have to be in my plan. So you have to be able to operate and communicate with me. But what you forget is Chaz has his own life and Winston has his own life. He's got his set of problems and they've got their set of problems and I've got mine. And we can't always track at the same moments at the same time. So he's coming up to me because he needs encouragement. But that day I happen to be dealing with a crisis and crisis is on my mind. And it's not that I don't want to help him, but I'm not feeling encouraged myself right now. I'm over here dealing with my own struggle because I'm trying to encourage myself in the Lord and I'm just trying to get through my struggle. But then they're over there making a judgment on me about what I'm doing to try to survive because they need something with me that I can't and I'm not compatible to give them at the moment. I'm not qualified. We make demands on people continually. Do you know that? If I give you a response, I'm expecting something back. And if you don't give me that return, then there's something wrong with you. Well, you know the truth? There may be something wrong. And maybe I need to be the one to change my perception instead of making assumptions about you and then forming an opinion. Woo, I'm preaching good right now. Maybe then I should change my perception and think maybe they have something going on. Maybe I ought to be the one encouraging them, even though I need encouragement myself. And maybe if I'd sow that into that person, then encouragement would find me somewhere else. Because if I sow it, I know it's coming back. I'm trying to tell you how we get trapped. We've all done it. I do it. You do it. I'm just trying to tell you how to get out. And so it's a struggle. It's jumping to conclusions, and sometimes it happens so fast. Listen, have you ever seen somebody where they walk into their office and they're not smiling at you, so there has to be something wrong? Listen, this is what happens to me on a regular basis as pastor. Do you know, one day I'm just thinking, I just got a bomb dropped on me. That I think it was, what, 9 air conditioners? 9 air conditioners went out. That's a lot of money. And so we got to deal with these 9 air conditioners, and I had a list of about this long that they just hit me with on things we've got to do and we've got to get managed. So I'm in my mind walking out in the church to check to make sure that the things that they're saying, are we going to be able to have service? Are we, you know, so my mind is on the big picture. It's on God's plan. I'm trying to facilitate for the people. And walk by, and you know, normally if you see me, you're not getting away from me. If I see you in a supermarket, I will run you down. It's so funny. I see people in the grocery store all the time. They'll be going like this, and they'll look down and see me. And it's one of two things. It's either like, and then they turn their buggy to me, or they know they got something in that buggy they don't want me to see. It's usually Bluebell ice cream. We're back on Bluebell, and it looks like this. It's sheer terror. They'll dodge in 2-3 of them short aisles just to hide. They're over there in the pharmacy looking at aspirin. Came for milk. Mindset. Mindset. So they'll see me in that train of thought. I'm walking busy. And if I don't say hello or my usual come up and embrace them, oh yeah. Fine, be that way. I don't even know what's going on. You know, I'm just sitting, I'm in the air-conditioned world. Man, I'm sitting there thinking the plumbing's leaking. We just had a bathroom just break down. Water's on the floor. I'm wondering, making sure nobody's going to slip and fall. And they're over there. I'm getting the hate stare from Hades burning through my neck when I'm just making sure nobody breaks their neck on this side of the church. Come on, somebody. Did it ever occur that there may be something else going on in someone's life besides your schema? We're talking about mind traps, and this is a big one. I can't even quite move on yet because we hold people captive by these thoughts, and we put false expectations on that they're not equipped to handle. No one's equipped to handle that. No one can be sunshine every day. Sometimes it rains. Some days it's overcast. Just enjoy every day. I want you to love me even when I'm not all up in your stuff. Anyway. I see people looking. They're just doing that to make me angry. Now, I'm sure that the whole time they came to church, that they were sitting there on the way to church planning, thinking, I wonder how I'm going to make them angry. So what I'm going to do when I walk in the church, I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to act like I don't see them. That's what I'm going to do. Because I'm in the house of God. And I'm in the place of fellowship. So I'm gonna go ahead and just make them angry. I mean, do you really think that's what's going on over there? Or, you know, maybe, and this actually happened, maybe they just lost their mother. And they're sitting there trying to deal with that and get their head around what just happened. And their heart is bleeding out. But they're doing it to make you angry? Somebody say, I repent, Lord. I'm trying to get us to understand that there's a lot going on in the world around us. And that's why Jesus tells us to prefer others. Because if we're preferring ourselves, we're going to get caught in this constant mind trap. And we're going to keep pushing people away and making people angry. And they're not even knowing. And we're angry at people. And they don't even know why we're mad. Talking about us, we don't even know why they're talking about us. I think I could probably just preach on this one point all day. Colossians 3 and 23. I'm going to read it in the NLT. It says, work willingly at whatever you do, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Now, I'm going to go ahead and I'm going to have a moment of vulnerability here. I'm going to tell you the truth. There was a time because I was concerned if people would receive me as preacher. You know, when you're young in preaching, it's common. You know, you get to the point where you just preach. I just come to preach God's word. You know, if you like it, you like it. If you don't, deal with him. You know, I'm going to do my best. But when I was younger, I was so worried about people's opinions. And I wanted them to like my preaching. And I wanted them to be okay with what I was doing. Anyone understand what I'm saying? And there would be times I would be preaching and everybody would get real quiet. And I'd think, man, they don't like my preaching. And I'd get so beat up. Sometimes to the point where I just felt like I could have done a better job had they been cheering me on. Does that make sense? And, you know, it took me a while. And you know what I figured out? See, I was doing it as the Lord, but I really wasn't. I was really caring about what the people thought. See, I'm just supposed to be doing this for the Lord. I'm not supposed to be doing it for you. But if I'm doing it for the Lord, I'll do it for you. Does that make sense? I want to do it for you. And what does that mean? That means if I'm doing it for the Lord, I'm not expecting anything back from you. If you're really going to do something for the Lord, you're not expecting anything in return. You don't need an attaboy. You don't need a pat on your back. You don't even need a thank you because you didn't do it for that. You did it for him. And what I realized in preaching that way is finally the Lord revealed to me, Scott, he said, the reason why they're getting quiet is they're dealing with what you're delivering. Mindset. Let me tell you something. When somebody's all up in your mailbox, will you smell the gas off the fumes and you can read the label on the truck from the delivery? You know what I'm talking about? It's up in the mailbox. They don't feel like shouting. They don't want to get up and dance. They're in an oh my God moment. They're in an aha moment. They're having to deal with the truth, and they don't even know how to get their head around it and how to get their flesh out of the way. So they're in that moment of dealing, and what do? You get quiet. You go inside. Listen, I need you to go inside sometime. We all need to go inside sometime. And we need to take a personal inventory. Let that word work. And then it'll work from the inside to the outside. But if I'm going to worry about how you're reacting, acting, or otherwise, then I'm no longer doing it for the Lord. Can you see it? I'm doing it for me. And so, listen, I don't mind sharing a few moments of my past immaturity, but I grew past that once I got the revelation, and I'm just sharing it with you so you don't get caught up in the same mind trap that I was in. Because it's grueling, man. You leave and you're so beat up from, man, you go home and you think, man, you're a failure. And then the voice, the enemy always has three or four voices there to go ahead and confirm what you're feeling. And so what I'm trying to tell you is I want you to picture everyone that you come in contact with. You're just an opportunity. I told you last time, we don't have problems. We have opportunities. Well, every time you come near someone, you have an opportunity to work for the Lord. The greatest in the kingdom is a servant. Well, you got to have somebody before you can serve. And so God puts people in front of you every day, and they're not there for them to serve you. I said it. People are not here for us. We are here for people. If I place no expectation upon you, then I set myself in a place where I can no longer receive disappointment by you or from you. You need a minute on that one. I could tell that one kind of went down in there. I'm going to say it again. If I don't place any expectations on you, I'm there to give you what I've got. I'm here to help you with what I have. I'm here to serve you the way that I know how. I'm not expecting, because I'm doing it for the Lord. I don't need any, he's my source. You are not my source. The minute I expect and have to have something to you, or I am not confirmed, then I am no longer doing it for him, and I've created a soul tie. No offense, if the Lord tells you to do something for me and you do it, I will gladly receive it. But if I feel like you owe me and you want to do it, I don't want it. Keep it. Matter of fact, I won't let those relationships form. You ask any of my best friends. That, you know, and don't get me wrong, they're doing it out of the goodness of their heart, but they'll say, hey, I'll do a favor for them or something. They'll say, hey, let me compensate you for that, or let me do this for you. And they're doing it with the right heart. Do you understand? My favorite thing to tell them is, we're not keeping score. I help my sister out. You know, she was in a bad way, and I had to do some injections and help her because she got thrown from a horse, and she was all banged up, and, you know, she's much better now. She said, and so she wanted to buy me a pair of tennis shoes. I said, Kim, you don't have to do that for me. And she said, well, it's not because I have to. I want to. I said, you know, Kim, we're not keeping score. You get it? And she said, well, I know, but so people still want to do things and be kind of, but don't ever get into a relationship where there's an expectation. And if you don't get that from that person, then you're going to feel failure on their part because you are setting them up for failure at that very moment. It's a mind trap. It's set. You've already set it. And so now you've made assumptions and opinions about the things they're doing because you jumped to conclusion. The conclusion was I needed their help. They were going to help me. They were going to do this for me. They were going to do that for me. They don't need to do anything for you. Because if their steps are ordered of God and they're not doing it for you, why do you want them doing it for you? I only want people's steps that are directed for the Lord to come to me. Because I know they're going to bring me blessing when they come. Because it's from the Lord. I don't want anything that's not from the Lord. So see, if I operate out of this mindset and I'm doing everything solely unto the Lord and with no other expectations, watch this. The only thing that comes into my life now is blessing. Do you see how I got out of that mind trap? Got out of that trap. Now start thinking about it. The people in your life who you've set in those positions where you create too high of expectation. Now listen, I'm not talking about if you go to your physician, you're expecting to get a treatment. Yes, we're not talking about that. Those are professional relationships. You know, if I tell you I'm going to do something and you're going to do something back, those are agreements, those are partnerships. I'm not talking about that. You know what I'm talking about. You're talking about where you're making unfair assumptions, jumping to conclusions about why people are doing things or not doing things. I'll give you another example. Have you ever had a friend or something? Maybe it's people in your family. Maybe it was your own parents. They gave your sister $20 and they didn't give you anything. Oh, I see. We've got favorites now. can honestly say, if one of my friends gets money and I don't get money, you ask any of my friends, I am so excited. My friend would get a new motorcycle. I would go down there and treat it like it was my own. I'd clean it off. I was like, God, I love that thing. Never one time in my heart of hearts did I ever say, I wish that was mine. Wonder why I didn't get one. I should have got that. I really deserved it. That's one thing. Now, I might have a lot of other mistakes in my life, but that's one you'll never call me out on. I have always been joyful when my friends receive blessings. Happier than actually than if I get them. And my true friends are happy when I get something. And they're the first ones I call when I get it. And when we're calling, we're not bragging. We can't wait to show the other one. Okay, see, that's how it's supposed to feel. You get a feel for this thing? And so if life's operating like that, see, it's good and it's happy. And you're happy and I'm happy about the things, but nobody's keeping score. Nobody's creating unfair expectation. And it's important that we get our head around this or we're going to stay trapped. And if we stay trapped, we're going to continue to live miserable. And if we live miserable, we'll never find the plan of God for our life. People are bringing us a lot of things, but the things they're bringing are not lining up with the plans. Therefore, they are called distractions. I don't want any more distractions in my life. Do you know how awesome the words are when I hear, listen, the Lord told me to do this for you. The Lord came and they have some kind of a blessing or doing something or one and say, listen, the Lord told me to do this. Man, it lights me up because blessing just walked into my life. There's no expectation on it. There is just giving, freely give, freely given. You understand this? It's just flowing with the plan of God in your life. Think of the times you've had those moments. Aren't they the best? Don't they bring you the most peace? How about when a good deal just comes along? And it looked like that deal wasn't even going to happen. Next thing you know, not only does it wind up happening, it's an awesome deal. Now see, that's a God deal, not a good deal. Do you see the difference? And so what I'm trying to tell you is we, according to the Word of God, we're all supposed to be like-minded. I'm going to read it here at the very end. We have to all be of the same mind. What is the same mind? If you get blessed, I'm blessed by the fact that you got blessed. And if I'm blessed, you should be blessed by the fact that I just got blessed. Therefore, we're always walking in blessing. Man, you know how many people there are right here? And if you're blessed and I'm blessed because you're blessed, man, we're blessed all the time. Like-minded, being of the same mindset. We're not in competition with each other or with anyone. Amen, Pastor. I got to roll on, but man, this is a big one. And so I'm just trying to make sure that I've nailed this thing down. Is everybody okay? Now, here's the one I just feel like I need to tell you. Because if you don't get this straight, what you're going to do is you're going to push people away that are supposed to bring blessing into your life. You're going to drive people away that are going to bring help and healing into your life. I'm going to tell the story, and then I'm going to move on to the last one. We had a ministry called Potter's House, and we were supposed to take 70 men one weekend, women another, but we ended up being around 100. We had a couple hundred people working the weekend. Just came to serve. Just came to see people's lives changed. And I remember one time we were there and I could just tell this one man kept looking at me funny. You ever had somebody look at me funny? You know, I just happened to notice him. I didn't really think a thing about it. I just kept noticing, well, he keeps staring at me. And so I thought, well, you know, maybe he's just dealing with something. You know, I don't know. I was just going on. Do you know, we had a couple really serious breakthrough sessions. And I think it was in about the beginning of the second day, he came up to me. He said, Doc, he said, there's something I need to tell you. And I said, okay, what was it? He said, you know, you look like a guy that I went to high school with that I hated his guts. I said, okay. I'm like, where's this going? So I said, okay. He said, well, he said, I need to apologize to you. Because he said, every time it was your turn to talk, he said, I'd just turn it off. Because he said, all I could see was that guy's face, and I was thinking of him. He said, then when we had that, and I won't tell you what part it was, but it was at one of the deliverance services. He said, I got my heart right. He said, my heart was so hard, it was like a stone they talked about. And he said, and the Lord just melted it. He said, then it enabled me to help hear what you were saying. He said, then the last service, I just heard you. And he said, you don't even know this, but the words you had for me has changed my life. Now, track me up with this. Had he not gotten out of that mind trap, he would have never gotten the word, therefore his life would have never been fulfilled. See, if we keep our minds trapped and get these thoughts about people and we keep harboring these ill emotions about people and we have these wrong concepts of why people do things, why do you think, I don't know if you've ever noticed, have you ever noticed when someone leaves this church, I always bless them? I don't care how they leave. When they leave, why do I do that? Because I don't want, watch this, forget about me, I'm going to be okay. You know, I got my big boy britches on, you see what I'm saying? But I don't want to be a stumbling block to them. When they're out there on Facebook and Instagram, have you ever seen me put a post? Only time you'll see me post anything was it's about Jesus talking about what God will do for your life and how he'll deliver you. I don't get into those personal conflicts. Why? Because it's a trap. And if you're out there and you're doing it, get out of the trap. Because you're about to get snared. You're about to get caught in something that you won't be able to get out of. That's all I'm telling you. And you're going to drive the people away from you that can possibly have the potential to bring fulfillment into your life. Okay, I got to hurry here. I got to hurry. The last one, number three, is overgeneralizing. Now listen to me, hear me out on this one, because this is also a big one, and it's more in personal relationships, because you then put self-imposed limitations. Did you hear that? Self-imposed limitations when you do this. Overgeneralizing is when, you know, one thing happens and we think it always happens. You know, if you use words like never, always, or nothing, or everything, there's a good chance you're probably overgeneralizing here. So here's what it might sound like to someone. You know, nothing good ever happens to me. Oh, nothing? You never have anything good happen to you, ever. Think about it. I never seem to catch a break. Have people heard that one before? You've never caught one break in your life, ever. Never, no, I never seem to catch a break. It's always like this with me. I never seem to get good ideas. Never? You've never had one good idea in your entire life? Wow. Are you listening to me? Never. Always. Can't. Then we do it to other people. Listen, sometimes we'll start doing it over other people. We'll say like, oh God, I even hate to say this. We've all said it. Let's just go ahead and be honest before I say this. But the statement sounds like this. People are all so stupid. If you say you haven't said it, I'm coming down with the oil right now. You've said it. I've said it. I'll confess. I repented quickly, and I've done it more than once. See, I just got free up here all by myself. Lord Joe, ho, ho, I felt the Lord. See, y'all can stay in the trap if you want. I just got out. I just told it like it was. I said it. I did it. I got out of it. I don't want to do it again. And if you don't get out, I'm going to have to say it again. Because I think if you stay in the trap, you're stupid. Don't make me say it again. We overgeneralize. We say that. And listen to me, especially in personal relationships. You never do this. You never do that. Really. Or you always do this. Or you always do that. Who am I talking to? Do you understand at that moment you're self-imposing limitations on the people and the things around you every time you do it? So then as a result, that you're going to do it, you're going to put that out there. Then as a result, you'll continue to separate yourself from receiving the full potential of what God's trying to do in your life. Why? Because you're just limited. You never do that. Well, then they can't do it. You just limited it. Because if you do it one time, it's not a never anymore. You get it? You just placed unfair and permanent restrictions on potential results that could have been available to you when you said that. Just like that, you did that. Never and always, words like that are constants. So once you keep putting them out there, how is anything ever going to change? You put a permanent restriction on potential that would be available to you. Can you see it? Every time you say it. Every time you say it. You got it. So when you speak them and you keep saying these words like this, they become mind traps. Why? Because they create permanent restrictions and reservations so that the potentials of your life can't be received and they're avoided and averted. Nobody wants that. And they also create self-fulfilling prophecies when you do it. People always let me down. Okay, listen to me, people. This is something we all need to work on because we all do this in our relationships at certain times, whether it's friends, whether it's spouses, whether it's friendships. Listen to me. He never pays me attention. She never does anything for me. He or she always treats me bad. Now, are you sure they never do anything? Are you sure? And they're never nice to you ever? They always treat you bad? Because you're saying they treated you bad, but I just saw him open the car door for you. They always treat you bad, but looks like you got 3 or 4 Christmas presents under the tree. Maybe 25. Come on, somebody. Is it really that bad? Listen to me. The Lord really dealt with me a few years back in always looking at what I didn't have. Okay, can I be perfectly honest with you today? I'm used to seeing this church full. And the thought tried to penetrate me of all things that my mind tried to trap me today. And as soon as it tried to trap me because I saw empty pews, you know what my spirit said? Look at those good-looking folk you have today. He made me focus on what I have. See, to me, I don't care if I'm speaking to 5 or 50,000. I've spoken to many crowds of 10,000, and I've spoken to cameras to millions, and I've also spoken to 5 or 6. I've even done onesies and twosies. I don't care how many I'm speaking to. Are you listening to me? I've learned to be grateful for what is ever in front of me at any time and what's available to me at the moment that I'm living. I don't have time to worry about what I don't have. I have too much time that I need to be focusing on what I do have. And if I'm looking at what I do have all the time, I'll always have more than enough. And so if we take this concept and we move it over to get us and pry us out of these mind traps, instead of looking at what your husband or your wife did or didn't do, or in your terms, never does or always does, why don't you look at the things that they really did for you, the good things? Why don't you look, I don't care if it's 1 or 2 things, that's still 2 things. You said never, it's a lie. If we could lose terms like always and never, because I'm telling you right now, if someone tells me you never do this, you just, I'm done. You just clip my wings. because I can never do anything for you because you didn't give me permission. I don't want to violate your forecast. You just prophesied. You always did. Okay. I can't even change. You didn't even give me permission to change because I always have to do it this way. And you wonder why your relationships aren't changing? You're putting self-imposed limitations because you're overgeneralizing. It's a trap. And it's to hold you in a space to where you always feel neglected and you always stay a victim. Ooh, those are hard words. But if I start looking around me and I start thinking, wow, what a nice thing that person did. Forget about if they did nothing else. They did one thing for me. They don't owe you that. Nobody owes you anything. Did you forget what I just taught 10 minutes ago? There's no expectations. You do everything, 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 including a relationship as unto the Lord. Oh. Everything. Everything. I think we need to rethink the way we're doing counseling in the marriage. I don't even think we need counseling in the marriage. I think what we need to do is remember that everything we're doing is as unto the Lord. Anything you get in your service to God is bonus. Nobody heard me when I said that. If I'm doing something for my wife and she happens to do something nice for me, bonus. I don't need it. I don't have to have it. I may want it. I may desire it. But if she was in comatose for 6 months, God would supply it. So I really don't need it, do I? No, so then why am I placing unfair expectation? It's amazing when you take need and pressure off of somebody, how it makes. Let me tell you something. If I feel you expect me to do something, I'm probably not going to do it. You have $100 there. I have $5 in my wallet. You ought to get off one of those tens, I'm just saying. You may just want to slap a 20 down. I'm just putting it out there. I'm not saying. So if I think that you want $20 from me, I'm probably not going to give it to you. If you'd have just left it alone. If you'd have just been happy for me that I had the $100 and you only had $5. If you open up your wallet and two moths flew out. And you are happy for me and Brother Ben, Brother Benjamin, who have made a pact. Old Ben might have put his hand out. And he may have slapped a 20, maybe even would have slapped a 50. But you self-imposed a restriction out of an unfair expectation. And you overgeneralized and told me, he never. Always. How about God never fails? That's not an overgeneralization. That's a fact. God always watches over his word to perform it. See, when I put my expectation there, I'm not setting myself up for failure. The minute I put that same word on you, I just crushed you. You're not qualified to meet my needs. He will meet all of my needs according to his riches and glory, not according to your riches and glory. God, I'm preaching real good. I wish you guys, if we get this revelation today, life changes. Do you understand? We get this today. That's all we got to do is get this revelation that I'm teaching you today from the plan. This is his plan from the beginning. That's why they all lived together. They just all put everything they had together. Nobody expected anything from anybody. Everybody just put it in. You see what I'm saying? There's no expectations on you. The only expectations on you is to follow the word in the plan of God. And I've learned this too. If everyone's doing that and they come out of the greed of their own heart, the Bible says if you see a need and you can meet it and you don't, it's a sin to you. Woo! Now, that doesn't mean you have to solve every sin in the world. You're not Savior. But we need to be doing our share. And when we do it, we don't need to have expectations that are unfair and limiting and restrictive. Why? Because it's a trap. It's a trap. I got to close this thing. Everyone understand? Can I use one more talk point before I leave? I just think we have a lot of new faces here. I can do this quick. Does everybody know what a schema is? There's a lot of you who I didn't get the chance to be able to tell you what a schema is. But a schema is a thought you have that when you live your life, you pattern yourself. And what happens is, even in these traps, we pattern these traps into our life. Let me tell you what a schema is. A schema is, okay, I'm at church today. When I leave here, I go by. I make sure when I go by my desk, I grab my wallet, I grab my keys, I grab my phone, I go to my car. When I go to car, I drive home. When I drive home, I open the garage door. I park a certain way in the driveway. I open the door. I make sure I hit the garage door. I do it the same way every time. When I walk in, I go down. I set my keys. I set my wallet down. I go in. I usually get something to the drink or use the restroom, and then I go to the place, my easy chair, because I want to rest. Okay? Everybody got that? So I do that so many times, and I do it so many times. That becomes my schema. I do it without thought. So here's what happens. It looks like this. So one day I'm driving and I come home. I go through my routine. I just get out of the car in the garage. I push the garage button like I've done a million times. I walk in. I go to set my wallet down. The phone rings. Hello? And it's a deep call. I'm like, oh, yeah. Well, when I'm doing this, I don't put my keys down by my wallet. And I leave them in my pants. Now the keys are in my pants. So I walk and I just keep going and I keep finishing. I do everything I do and I take my pants. I change into my other clothes. Next thing you know, I'm sitting in my easy chair and I hang up the phone. Wasn't that great talking to you? Bye. Next morning, it's time to go to work. I go to my spot where my wallet is and my keys are not there. So what do? I go straight into a mind trap. Nisa, what'd you do with my keys? Mind trap. See, what you don't realize in a schema is in your mind finishes it as if you put it in there. Because you've done it so many times, it fills in the blanks. And that's called a pattern interrupt. I got pattern interrupted. So when I got pattern interrupted, I filled in the blank with the usual. That's what happens in a mind trap. So then I jumped to assumptions. She took my keys again. Again, it's not once. Why is she always touching my things? Is she always touching them? Or was this a one-time event? And did she even touch it? Are you hearing me? Mind trap, mind trap, mind trap. And when you keep operating like this and you're in the same schema and you don't recognize it and you don't change it, it's like you're walking barefoot in a room full of mouse traps. All day. Trapped. Bang, trap, bang, trap, bang. And it brings pain and aggravation into your life, frustration. Limits you, handicaps you. And so, the only way you can create a new schema is you have to retrain the brain. The Bible calls it a renewing of the mind. We can use interchangeable terms. I was just trying not to make it churchy, but it doesn't make churchy any less accurate. You've got to renew your mind. How? By finishing where we started. You got to get the revelation. God is the plan. And the more like Him you are, the less you find yourself being trapped. When I start operating from I would prefer my brother as myself. When I forgive, when? Right then. Don't wait a year. Don't wait a week. Don't wait a day. Let it go. Because the longer you hold on to it, it holds on to you. Dragging you down, slowing you down. Let it go. You think when you're mad and you're angry, you're punishing them. They could care less. You're only punishing yourself. I'm telling you how to walk in freedom. I'm telling you how to walk in peace. I'm telling you how to live in a clear mind. I'm telling you how to make relationships and keep them. I would say the highest percentage of the people that have left my life have left because they placed fair expectation. Their unfair expectation. I can't live up to it anymore. I'm not your savior. Don't ever look at me for anything. Anything you get from me is a bonus from God. Let's just get that relationship straight. And I won't look to you for it either. If I'm paying you a wage, that's a different story. Because although a workman is worthy of his hire, he also has to serve him with excellence as his master. It's a win take. So again, listen to me. If we just stick with the plan and we start thinking about others before we think about ourselves, before you look at that person and go, he should have said hello, before you judge the reason why someone snapped at you, maybe you should consider what they just went through. If you treated everyone like they just went through the hardest moment in your life, I mean, maybe they just came, treat them like they just came out of the worst struggle that they could ever possibly go through. And you were there to love and help and nurture them. Think of how much different your relationships would be. That's just some food for thought. And as I started, I'm also going to leave you because I think we've talked enough. Thoughts aren't a problem unless they cause problems. And so, I'm going to read in closing Philippians 2, 1 through 5 from the NIV. Therefore, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any common sharing in the Spirit, if any tenderness or compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being of one in spirit and one of mind. One spirit, one mind, one God. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit. Rather, in humility, value others above yourselves. That's the plan. Not looking to your own interests, but each of you to the interests of others. That's the plan. That's what you just heard here this morning. In your relationships with one another, have the same mindset. In your relationship with one another, have the same mindset. This is the scripture. Verse 5, in your relationships with one another, have the same mindset as Christ Jesus. The plan. That's what the word says. That's how you reset the mindset and come out of the traps. Can you please stand to your feet? Guys, I just want to say, first of all, thank you for just letting me be real, for just talking about where we live. I'm not trying to single anyone out or trying to make anyone feel despaired. Sometimes we just need to be shaken a little bit. Sometimes we need to see ourselves, sometimes in a little humor, to be able to realize this is our reality. And more importantly, I hope you heard enough instruction from the Word today to go ahead and be motivated to change. We never want to leave the house of God like we came. We only want to leave better. Amen. I don't know about you, but I want to get better so I can serve you better. I want to get better so I know how to interact with you better, how to love you better, how to be a part of your life. That's what we all should be striving for, to understand and to love each other. Let me tell you something. When you start preaching like this and you start living like this, you don't care what color people are. When you start thinking like this and preferring each other, you don't care whether people have money or don't have money. When you start preaching and teaching like this, you don't care if they're young, old. It doesn't matter. Every shape, size, it doesn't matter. We just all love each other and treat each other with respect. That's God's plan. Don't you think here at Glory to Him we can do that? Amen. Yes, we are. Say, yes, we are. Yes, we are, and yes, we will. Now, what I want to do is what I do every week. I just want to look across the congregation. If you're here today and you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you've never really made the prayer to ask Him to be the Lord of your life, please don't leave here today without doing that critical option. That is the most important thing you'll ever do in your life. That's what makes all this make sense. So if you're here today and you just say, you know, Pastor, I heard you and I got the message, and, you know, that's I want Jesus to be the head of my life, and you've never done that before, I'd like to pray. And we're all going to pray together. I'm not going to single you out. I just want to know who you are, so when we're all praying, I'll just kind of be agreeing with you in prayer, because Jesus wasn't ashamed to die for you in public. Don't be ashamed to receive Him in public. And so with all eyes open and everyone looking around, how about that? We'll do it the opposite. We usually say with eyes closed and no one looking around. No, with eyes open and everyone looking around. If you're here today and you would say, you know, Pastor, yeah, that's me. When you make that prayer, when y'all pray, just make sure you include me. Would you just lift your hand? I just want to make sure I can see you today. Are you here today? Thank you for that hand. 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 Anyone else? Thank you for that hand, sir. Appreciate it. Thank you for that hand. Anyone else? If you're here today and you would also say, thank you for that hand. If you're also here today and you would say, you know, Pastor, I made that prayer some time ago, but for whatever reason, man, I just strayed off the path a bit. You know, I still love God, but I need to get back to where I was. Listen, this is the day. Like I said, don't leave here unchanged. Let God make that right. If that's you today and you'd say, that's me, Pastor, I want to get things back right in my life again. Let me see those hands. Is that you today? Yeah, thank you for the hands all the way across the house. Thank you. We're going to agree with you, and we're praying. We're going to come into special agreement with you. Now, in a minute, we're going to pray a prayer, but it's not important that you hear me pray. It's not important that you hear the people around you pray. It's that you hear yourself saying the words that, believing in your heart, confessing with your mouth, that's what gets you saved. And you have to believe what you're praying. That's what gets it done, and that's what settles it in heaven. And before we pray, I just want to ask, how many people somewhere in the sermon today saw some things that you could do to get out of those mind traps? Amen. Okay, so let's, it's a full-time job, I promise. But I don't know about you, but I'm going to be working about pulling some of the traps off my body, especially my mind. Amen. So I want to do exactly what I said I want to do. I want to pray with everyone. So please, let's all pray together. Everyone bow your head and repeat after me. Say, Father, I pray in the name of Jesus, and I ask you to come into my heart. Fill me, cleanse me, and make me every whit whole. See, I believe you're the Son of God. I believe you died on a cross for my sins. And I believe God raised you from the dead. Therefore, I'm a new creation. The old things are passed away. Behold, all things are new in my life. I am a child of God. Heaven is my home, and you are now my Lord. I believe it, confess it, and that settles it. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, amen. Come on, let's give the Lord. Let's just show him how grateful we are for the plan and purpose for your life right here. I can't reiterate enough how important it is to stay plugged into your church family. Guys, one thing I will charge you to do as your pastor is that world out there is getting darker, not brighter. And there are people out here that need to be sitting in these empty pews. The only way they get here is if you invite them. If you think you've heard something here that's beneficial, that you know others need to hear, please bring them to church. Invite them to come in. Let's change this area one soul at a time. Amen. Can you give one more hand clap of praise? God bless you.